ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 19 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. Purport. As referred to above, philosophers like Jaimini and his followers establish that fruitive activity is the root cause of all distress and happiness, and that even if there is a superior authority, some superhuman powerful god or gods, he or they are also under the influence of fruitive activity, because they reward result according to one's action. They say that action is not independent because action is performed by some performer. Therefore, the performer himself is the cause of his own happiness or distress. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the sufferings of material pangs. So one should not entangle oneself in matter by the mind's material affections. Thus one's own mind is friend, thus one's own mind is one's friend or enemy in one's material happiness and distress. Atheistic, materialistic Sankhyaites conclude that material nature is the cause of all causes. According to them, combinations of material elements are the causes of material happiness and distress, and disintegration of matter is the cause of freedom from all material pangs. Gotama and Kanad find that atomic combination is the cause of everything, and impersonalists like Ashtavakra consider that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself declares that he is the source of impersonal Brahman, and therefore he, the personality of Godhead, is the ultimate cause of all causes. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. This is the reply of the personality of religion in the form of the bull to the question of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit saw that the personality of religion in the form of the bull was suffering and being beaten, standing on only his three legs had been beaten and cut, and he was standing on only one leg. So he asked, who has done this? He was the king, so he wanted to punish the miscreant. Who has done this? What is the cause of this suffering that you are undergoing? Now, you would expect that if you ask someone, so you see someone has been beaten, you ask, what is the cause? How did this happen? You may just see that they're cut. You may not know that they've been beaten. It could be some accident also. So you may ask, what is the cause? And you would expect some simple answer. Just like, I fell off a motorcycle. He's translated. I fell, and maybe he will say, I fell off a motorcycle, or maybe such and such a person beat me. But the personality of religion is replying. So, dharma is very subtle. So the personality of religion is not giving a simple reply, because ultimately nothing is simple. If you lift your finger like this, lift it up and down, you may think it's very simple. But actually if you consider all the brain functions, the nerves, the muscles, the movements of the cells, it's actually very complex. Everything is very complex. And then beyond that, the desire, why did you desire? So in anything, in any action, in any activity, or even in inactivity, there are so many levels of subtlety as to understanding the cause. This is the subject matter of philosophy. There are different subject matters of philosophy. One of the subject matters is cause. Cause and effect. What is the cause? How are things caused? How do things come about? That philosophical inquiry spills over into so many different areas of study, science. What is the science studies. What is the cause? How has this universe come into being? How do different chemicals react? In biology and medicine also. What is the cause of growth? What is the cause of disease? And that will come into other subjects like sociology. Why do a group of people adopt a certain kind of culture? So what is the cause? And what is the ultimate cause? This is examined by different philosophers. And in one sense, although you can say that their philosophies are not fully correct, many of the philosophies, even those we reject, have some elements of truth in them, at least from a certain angle of vision. Just like it's said here that there are the personality of religion is giving different philosophies as to why he is in the situation he is. Now, one philosophy says that the living being himself is the ultimate cause of his happiness and distress. Because they say, this is Kama Mimamsa, they say that if you do something good or bad, even if there is a God, because there are the laws of nature, he's obliged to fulfill them. Even if there is a God whose function is to give rewards or punishment, he also has to do it according to the law. Just like in the state, there may be different laws. So, the authorities in the state, they can reward or punish a person according to the principles of the law. Just like the magistrate in the court, he may sentence someone. And you have offended someone, therefore you must pay them damages. You must pay $1 million to this person. So libel suit. You have defamed publicly. So he is rewarding one and punishing another. But he has to do it according to the law. He can't just arbitrarily punish or reward someone. Must be according to the law. So according to Kama Mimamsa philosophy, you yourself, the individual, is the ultimate cause of his own happiness and distress. And actually in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says the same thing. You know that verse? Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktubhe hetaruchyate. What's the first line of that? No. It says that karya karanam kachitve heta prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktubhe hetaruchyate. This says that material nature is the cause of reactions. But the suffering and distress a living being experiences, he is the only cause of that. So here we see immediately two causes are being given. Nature is being given as the cause, and the living being is also the cause. Now what does this mean? It means the living being, you get what you deserve. If you do pious activities, you get the result of good karma. If you do sinful activities, you get sinful result. But that is affected by the material nature. When we say good karma, that means you have to enjoy some material objects. And if you have to get bad karma, that means you are punished through the agency of material nature. So immediately we see different causes. Generally in Sankhya philosophy, the example is given of different causes. What is the cause of a pot? If you see an earthen pot, what is the cause? You can say that the clay is the cause, because the pot is made from clay. But there is also the potter. Without the potter, the clay will never become formed into a pot. So the potter is also the cause, more important cause. Both are required. Then we may say there's another cause. Maybe customer has come to the potter and said, you make me such and such a pot, just like this. So he's also the cause. And then you could say that the desire of the potter to maintain his family, that is also another cause. Or he may have a, mixed with that maybe, he may make a very beautifully designed pot. So mixed with that may be his aesthetic, artistic desire. So that's another cause. then there may be, he designs or he makes it according to a certain tradition, so that he's also influenced by the art form that's, or culture that's been developed by previous potters. So that's another cause. So there may be so many different causes. Then why do these desires arise at all? Because why does he want to make money to support his family? And you could say, because his parents arranged for him to be married. So his parents, you could say that a remote cause of this pot is the arrangement of his parents to get him married. And so you go on, there are layers and layers. And why did the parents marry him like this? Because they come from a certain caste, they only marry within a certain caste, and it's their family tradition, and how did this come about? And there are so many, to say that the person is the cause, that's true, but then what is the cause of the person's desire to make that pot? There are levels and sub-levels and sub-sub-levels, and it becomes very complex and subtle. Therefore, to say that the person is the ultimate cause is not true, because the person is the person who desired to make that pot, or to do any other activity, such as ringing a bell, or turning on a light switch, or going to sleep, or whatever one does. The person may desire, but the person is not independent to fulfill that desire. He cannot fulfill that desire simply by desiring. Just like someone may desire, I will have $1,000,000. But simply by his desire, it doesn't just happen. Or even if it does happen, he gets all material facilities. That may be bestowed upon him by material nature. He can't order material nature. He can only, just like you may want to build a nice bungalow and live very peacefully, you may build a bungalow. The cause of that may be your desire to live peacefully. But that's only possible if the situation is suitable, if material nature allows you to do so, because there may be an earthquake which will destroy the bungalow, or there may be some kind of riots in which people come and attack and burn your bungalow and loot everything. So you're not independent in fulfilling your desires. Other causes are also there. So, ultimately this discussion comes to what is the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karana. Well, at the root of everything is Krishna. And he is independent. He is not caused by any other cause. He is independently existing. He is not dependent upon anyone or anything else to fulfill his desires. Therefore, he is the absolute truth. Sometimes people ask this question, well, if God made everything, who made God? They think it's a very intelligent question, but actually it's a very stupid question. Because the very meaning of God is the supreme being who is not dependent upon anyone else. He is, axiomatically, God must be independent. And if we say that someone has made God, then he's not God. Because the very nature of God is that he's independent, totally independent. Everything is dependent upon him. He is not dependent upon anything else. That is God. So this is a very great discussion. Previously in India, there used to be so many discussions on these points. What is the ultimate cause? But actually that can't be found out simply by logical investigation. Within our experience, everything we see, we can say that this is caused by something else. There's cause and effect. The pot is the effect of the cause, which is the potter and the clay, and then the fire. You have to burn the clay in the fire. So many different factors are there. Fire could also be taken as one of the causes, because clay needs to be burned in a fire to make it into a pot. So there's maybe so many causes. So the clay, the earth, what is that caused by? That's an effect, which is the cause of the pot. But that clay itself is also an effect. It's not independently existing. It came into being. How did it come into being? Because of the material nature. So if we go, we can only see so far. We cannot see fully by our logical or scientific investigations. We cannot find out anything which doesn't have a cause. Within our experience, everything has a cause. So actually, to understand the ultimate cause of all causes, we have to go beyond the material nature, or beyond our experience. Therefore, the absolute truth is called aprakrita, beyond the material nature, or adhokshaja, which means beyond the circumspection of our sensory experience. So actually, you can't find the absolute truth simply by mental speculation or by research work. Because the absolute truth, being independent, is not under the jurisdiction of our intellectual inquiries. He may reveal himself to us, and actually he does, through Shastra. But we cannot find out the ultimate cause. Even by our own intellectual method. Even you can't find out, many people, they want to postulate how the universe has come into being, which is also material. But even that you can't find out. It's not possible at this point in time, many millions of years after the universe has come into being, to say exactly how it has come into being. We can speculate, but you can't prove anything. Just like if you see a very old building, maybe 1,000 years old. Now, if there are no records as to who has built that building, then you can't find out by investigation or research work. It's not possible. If there are records, then you can say that record may be written, it may be engraved on the side of the building, or it may be by verbal tradition. Just like that Lal Killa in Delhi. Who was that built by? Akbar, Aurangzeb, Shahjahan. He built something before Aurangzeb threw him in prison. So that's built by Shahjahan. That's the oral tradition is there. People say, because it was an emperor, is very famous, and he built an impressive building which is still standing today. So by oral tradition, the word has come that this red fort was built by Shahjahan. So it's accepted as a fact. There's no proof. You can't go back in history and make a film of Shahjahan. Even you won't see him building. He didn't personally build it. It's not that Shahjahan was a mystery and he was picking up bricks. When we say built by Shahjahan means he had it done through he had his construction workers and architects and everything else. Those days they didn't call them engineers, but anyway, he had it built by his desire, through his money, he got it built. He must have approved the design and so many different things. So in the same way, to find out who has made this universe, how will you find out? Well, there is a record that was previously in oral tradition. 5,000 years ago, Vyasadeva put it in written form. That is called Shastra. That Krishna is the ultimate cause, not only of this universe, but of everything. Unfortunately, atheistic people, they don't like to accept it. That is their misfortune. But they will simply go on arguing with each other. Since time immemorial they have been, and they will go on arguing. This, that, that. For those who accept the Shastra, you immediately get perfect knowledge. Shastra means taking knowledge from those who know. So here, the personality of religion, although in an apparently very difficult situation, distressed situation, is still expounding philosophy. He's not lost his philosophical sense. So we should remember this also. In difficulties, we should not go to simply the emotional platform, but remain on the philosophical platform and understand what is the actual position. In that way, we'll never be distressed, even in the midst of great distress. If we remember that I am the cause of my own suffering and distress, that's true up to a certain level. But the ultimate cause is Krishna. And does that mean Krishna is causing my distress? No. Krishna has given us independence. If we misuse it, then we get the result, which is distress. So you see, it's more suffering. But Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. He's the supreme controller. But he doesn't, it's not that Krishna is a factory manager and that he's controlling us like machines. No. He gives some independence also. He's just like the parents control the children. doesn't mean that they control every single movement. They may allow them to play within a certain area. So they're within a pen. They can't go outside. So they can, within that play pen, they can play as much as they like. They can run, they can jump. But they can't go outside. So they have some independence. Or the prisoners in the prison, they are controlled. You cannot go outside. Still, they're allowed some independence. If they like, at least in the West, they can choose between watching TV or playing table tennis in their recreation time. They have some independence, but it's limited. These are how these things have to be understood. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
For the devotees, it seems so simple to accept these things from the sastras.
Yeah.
But for a realistic person, sometimes it becomes...
The question is that a devotee, they can very easily accept from shastra that Krishna is the cause of all causes. And it's very simple and easy to understand, actually. But for a materialistic person, they can't understand it at all. Why is that? That is described in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? There's so many verses in this regard. Nāhaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yogamaya samāvita mūro yangna bijānāti lokamā majamabhiyam. Krishna says, I am not manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I remain covered by my yogamaya potency. Yeah, that says those who don't follow shastra, they can't get sukh, siddhi or paramgati, happiness, perfection, or the supreme goal. Now, there's another verse. How does that begin? Vimurha nāmi paśyanti. How they live in utkramam tansitam vāpi bunjānam vāgunam vitam. Vimurha nāmi paśyanti, paśyanti jñāna cakṣuṣa. That how the living being is giving up his body and accepting another one, those who are foolish, they cannot see it. But those who see through the eye of knowledge, they can understand. So, people may be materially intelligent but foolish at the same time. Their knowledge is covered. Ultimately, it's because they're envious of Krishna. They're called Maya Aparita Jnana. They have knowledge, but their real knowledge is covered by illusion because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, they think in a certain way. It may be illogical. It may not be in their own self-interest, but they have taken their self-interest to be sense gratification, which actually it isn't. It's very foolish to think that sense gratification is in our self-interest, but they take it like that. Because they have such a sinful desire. Ultimately, it's because people are sinful. They can't understand. Therefore, they're attracted to sinful and atheistic views, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Those who are sinful, they're attracted to demoniac views. Mokasha, moka karma, no moka gyana vichetasa, rachasa masarim chayva, prakritim mohinim shita. This verse says that those who are sinful, they are attracted to demoniac and atheistic views. Super highways. But actually this whole society is becoming more and more hellish in every way. There's pollution, people are so discontent. The whole society is becoming more and more just like hell in the name of progress. But they think it's progress. You see how it's upside down, back to front. Inside out, this is their intelligence. It always works in the opposite way. It's called viparita buddhi. Yeah, intelligence works in the opposite way. Mayam divya vinivesita syat ishada pityasya viparya smriti. This means that those who are envious of Krishna, they enter the world of fear. And in this way, their intelligence, it always works in the opposite direction. But they think this is very nice. This is good. I just saw in the train station some magazine they're selling. And they're advertising on the cover, bisexuality, the best of both worlds. They're advertising it's very good to be bisexual. You know what that means? That means sometimes a man has sex with a woman and sometimes with a man. And so they're advertising, this is very good. You can enjoy both ways. So foolish, rascal mountain.
Some like it can be just like they are simple, like sometimes they are to count and then. So I'm asked that the type of students now, they are coming and they are taking seriously also. But the past students now who are coming back to the center, who are students who are very popular, like that, who are doing charity, but they are not serious like that.
That may be, there may be very subtle, deep causes which are not very easy to see. One who comes to Krishna consciousness, ultimately they are more pious. Even though they may be engaged in grossly sinful activities. Worldly pious activities such as worship of demigods, that's actually, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, I can't remember the verse, Bengali verse, says these are actually obstructions to Krishna consciousness. If you think I'm very pious, I'm very happy, everything is good, I'm a good person, then you may not be able to take to Krishna consciousness.
So we are preaching everywhere. Dear devotees are also preaching in this material world. So even though dear devotees may preach, the person who is receiving that.
Yeah, pure devotees are preaching. It doesn't mean that everybody that they preach to takes to Krishna consciousness. Still everyone has the choice. Now, pure devotee or any devotee who is preaching purely, sincerely, we can call a pure devotee. Then by the grace of Krishna, they have some influence. Krishna Shakti, Vina Nahitara Pravatam. There's some prabhav or influence. The desire of the devotee is very strong to make others devotees. And that influences others. So, it's not just that the person speaks and then the person accepts or rejects. The personality of the devotee may also influence the person. Still they have the choice to accept or reject. There are so many cases where just by the association, that's why we recommend associate with devotees, because by their association one can become, his attitude can change. Association with pure devotees is very powerful. We've seen how many people's lives are changing because our devotees are going and preaching. So make devotees preach. Tell people. Give up your sinful activities. Chant Hare Krishna. Preach openly, straightforwardly. I was just on the train coming from Mathura. One man was appreciating my bead bag, very beautiful. But I saw he was reading a book by Harold Robbins, who writes all these sexy books. So I told him immediately, you're appreciating this, but look, what you're reading is nonsense, rascal thing. I told him directly, you give this up. Then I gave him one book, Krishna conscious book to read. So preach. Preach openly. Tell people. Illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxicating, this is all sinful. Stop it. Chant Hare Krishna.
Some people are very adamant not to accept this Krishna.
Some people are very adamant not to accept Krishna. What can you do? Then you go to others. You go to others. At least try and give them a book. Don't waste your time with those who are not interested. There are many people who are interested.
How we are preaching to somebody, sometimes if they are not able to receive the instruction, how is it taken?
Someone's not ready to take the instruction. It's the same thing. Don't waste your time with them. If you can take a donation, that would be good for them. Give them a book. Go on to the next person. The main point Srila Prabhupada is stressing in this purport is how everything is going on under the direction of the Lord and everyone is under the control of the Lord. Due to our conditioned consciousness, we think that we are independent. We think that we are the makers of our own destiny, which is true to some extent. As we were discussing yesterday, Purusha Sukhatu Karanam Bhogtritvai Hetu Ruchyate, we are the ultimate cause of our happiness and distress in this material world. Actually, it's all distress. But a certain type of distress is called happiness, and a certain kind of distress is called distress. But actually, it's all distress. Those who have the vision of reality, or the understanding of reality, they can understand how everyone in this material world is miserable all the time. Even if you hear materialistic people, if you hear them laughing, Generally, when someone laughs, you think they're happy, isn't it? But transcendentalists can hear in, can hear by the sound of their laughter, that they can hear the frustration, the anxiety, and the misery in their laughter. It's not actually a laugh of happiness. Similarly, in their smiling, you'll see posing for some photograph, smiling, but there's no happiness in the smile. It's just some veneer over the anxiety. Even you see there are people who are comedy artists. Now it's become a fashion in India also. All this, everything from the West is coming here. In the West they have these buffoonery kind of TV programs where people, they do silly things and they laugh, and there are people, professional comedians and clowns. But they're also not happy. Although their job is to make people laugh, and there's, some people have the knack of always making a joke at every 2 minutes. Everything they're making some joke about. But the materialist is never happy, even though he may appear to be. Whereas sometimes you see a transcendentalist, he may be angry, or he may appear very grave, or he may not always, but sometimes we think a devotee, we hear the description, he's always happy, so we think that he should be always jumping up and down and smiling and singing, but not necessarily. He may be very grave, he may not talk anything for some time, quite a long time. But his Ravichari Bhav, that is described in Nectar Devotion, his, the main principle of his consciousness is one of transcendental ecstasy in service of Krishna. So that may be expressed in different ways. So anyway, we're saying Purusha Sukha Dukhanam Bhoktritvai Hetu Ruchyate. That the, ultimately what we get in this material world, we are the cause of that by our actions. But exactly how it manifests, Karya Karana Kartritvai Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate. Exactly how it manifests is through the agency of the material nature. For instance, you may desire to be able to eat a lot of food. So you have that desire. Now, if you, according to your karma, if you perform good karma, you may go to the heavenly planets and eat all kinds of nice food. Your desire will be fulfilled in that way. But if you're a sinful person, and you indulge in eating all kinds of things like lobsters and crabs and all kinds of horrible things which people eat. You probably don't even know the English words for this. What's the Hindi name? Karkat or something like this for crab. It's the Sanskrit. That there's the sign of the astronomical sign. Karkat. So people sometimes like to eat this. It's very popular in some countries. Sometimes they eat cockroaches and rats and all kinds of horrible things. Even to eat any flesh is horrible. So if you indulge that way, you may have your desire to eat all kinds of, you may get it indulged as a pig. Because a pig has very good capacity for eating. So we are the makers of our fortune in one sense, but how it is expressed, that is under the control of the material nature. Now, it's understood that the devotees, they are the most pious people. Because they're always serving Krishna. And Krishna says, Savadhaman paritya jama mekam sharanam raja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma shucha. Krishna says, if you surrender unto me, only making me the exclusive shelter of your life, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And he qualifies that even further by saying, ma shucha, do not fear. He is definitely assuring, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Then, why is it that devotees are not just sometimes, but often seen to be subjected to very difficult conditions? Here we see the personality of the earth and the personality of religion, represented as the cow and the bull. They are suffering severely. Parikshit Maharaj, also that will be described, how for a very, not a very serious offense. Actually, to insult a rishi, he insulted a rishi, that's a serious offense. But the rishi was fully ready, the Shamika rishi was fully ready to forgive the king, because for a great personality like him, to make such an offense should be forgiven, because the king is, especially a pious king, here he's called Rajarshi. He's a Raja, but he's as good as a great sage. So for such a person with the important responsibility of protecting the citizens and making a condition in society by which people can become gradually spiritually elevated, such an offense should be forgiven. But Shamika Rishi himself was in trance. He didn't know what was going on. So his son, Shringi, cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die within 7 days. It's a very severe punishment. Under normal circumstances, something, you see, even two great personalities, Maharaj Parikshit and Shamika Rishi, there's some kind of misunderstanding. Under, that is natural. There may be some misunderstanding, but among great personalities, they can come together and work it out without having to make any ongoing confrontation. So, like this, many times we see that devotees are put into great difficulty. Maharaj Parikshit put into great difficulty. Prahlad Maharaj put into great difficulty. Dhruva Maharaj was, as a young boy, rejected from his home, practically. He took it as a rejection. Even at that time, he hadn't taken up Krishna Bhakti. The Pandavas, how much difficulty they were put into, even in the personal presence of Krishna. So, how are we to understand this? If devotees are freed from sinful reactions by Krishna, then how is it that they are subjected to so many difficulties? And the conclusion must be that they are not subject to difficulties as a result of their sinful reactions. It's not the cause. But the cause is the will of the Lord. Then the question will come, why should the Supreme Lord desire his devotees to be put in such difficulties? The reasons for that, they may be several. One reason may be that if there's even any slight attachment for this material world, a pure devotee undergoing great difficulties will fully take shelter of Krishna and fully give up any illusion of any attachment to this material world. Because the nature of this material world is such that even a great devotee can become attached. The Maya is very, very strong. So even if someone is a great devotee, there may be even some tinge of attachment. So to free him fully from that, Krishna may, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, purify him in the fire of ordeal. Just like this. Gold is purified by burning. If gold is mixed up with other chemicals, then it is purified by burning. Then it separates and only the gold remains. So that is one reason for purification. Another reason is that this separates the real devotee from the not very advanced devotee. By this test, by putting the devotees into difficulty, Krishna tests to see who is actually my very serious devotee. Who is a serious devotee of Krishna? He never thinks to give up Krishna's shelter. Just like the Pandavas, they went through one difficulty after another, but they never gave up their faith in Krishna. They never blamed it on Krishna. Sometimes we see, Prabhupada gave the example, he heard from his one godbrother, Sadananda, who is from Germany, that after the war, I don't know, the First World War or Second World War, whatever. So anyway, the Germans, they were fighting in the war, and in those days, they, even among the demoniac people like the Germans, they were overcome by the demoniac spirit at that time. So even at that time, they didn't send women to fight. Now it's women's liberation, and even the women are sent to fight. So at least even a short time ago, even the demoniac people of the Western countries didn't send the women out as soldiers. So the women were at home. Of course, they were working in the factories and all this. But they were praying to God, "Dear God, please send my husband home. Send my father home. Send my brother home. Send my son home. Let them survive this terrible fight." But almost all, they didn't come home because they were killed in the fighting. So, the nation as a whole, after that, became very much atheistic. Because they thought, we prayed to God to protect us from difficulties. He didn't. So what's the use of believing in God? God's job is to do what I want. Hey, come on, God, do it quick, quick, quick. Hurry up. What are you doing? Don't waste my time. He's taking God as order supply. This is a phrase made by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That materialistic people, they take God as their order supply. I have some order to fulfill. So God should fulfill that. So these people, they may be devotees, but they are neophyte devotees. Neophyte devotees, they are called, there are different words. One is Prakrita Bhakta. Means they're devotees somewhat, but really they're still on the materialistic platform. Or Bhakta Prai means almost a devotee, not really a devotee at all. Real devotee, devotion begins when we have firm faith in Krishna. So such a person, they may easily give up their devotion. Or due to not having very firm faith in Krishna, or wanting some materialistic benefit from God, and they won't be very interested to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they can easily be diverted. Therefore, we see all over India people who were, by family, they are members of nice sampradaya, Vallabh sampradaya, or Sri sampradaya. But because they're not trained properly, or they're not very advanced, then they're going to some Sai Baba or Swami Narayan or something completely bogus, which appears to be like devotion, but it's not the real thing, because they gave up the understanding of Krishna or Vishnu as supreme. They get diverted because they have materialistic tendencies. Therefore, they can't achieve pure devotion. So this difficulties will test a person. See, he may be brought up as in some nice Vaishnava sampradaya, but and he's in many difficulties, and someone comes up to him and says, well, why don't you do this, you go to Sai Baba and ask him, he will help you, and then they go, and then the material energy working through some dead fakir or whatever, then they get their benediction and they give up Krishna. Or they think this is the real incarnation of Krishna. They become deluded. But a real devotee, he'll never be attracted to such things. One who actually has, by the blessings of Guru and Krishna, has a real taste for Krishna consciousness and has gone deeply into understanding this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they'll never be diverted. There'll never be any question in their mind of going to any demigod or bogus guru or some Mayavadi sadhu for blessings. No question. Just whatever. They may go through many difficulties. They may even have weaknesses and struggles and on their devotional path. But they'll never go outside of the understanding of Krishna consciousness. That is why Prabhupada wrote in one place that even a neophyte devotee can be considered a pure devotee if he's on the right path. In other words, neophyte in the sense that he may not be very strong, he may be struggling with his mind and senses, but he's convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one is going to take him away. He's not going to go to any Baba or Bapa or any useless thing like this, not to any demigod. He is firmly convinced that Krishna only is my shelter. And not only Krishna is my shelter, but he knows the process. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiram Nita. Chanting in this Kali Yuga, chanting the name of Hari. This is the process. He doesn't become diverted to any false meditation or mundane welfare activities or any such thing in the name of devotional service. He knows Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and we have to serve him through the process given by these Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, which means to chant the holy name of Krishna and cooperate in the Sankirtan movement. So such a devotee, even he may be subjected to many tests, but he will not deviate. Even he may, in the test, you see, Pandavas, Parikshit Maharaj, they are exemplary. They are the ideals to follow. But realistically speaking, we don't expect that everyone is going to be so ideal as Parikshit Maharaj. Practically we see, everyone has their struggles in devotional life. It's not so easy to be a pure devotee due to our past conditioning. Of course, we could, from another perspective, we could say it's our own rascaldom. But nevertheless, one who remains fixed on the path, he can attain Krishna. He will ultimately attain Krishna. Whereas somewhere else, they may be easily diverted. If there's some difficulty, they may easily go away. So that's another reason Krishna tests his devotees by giving some difficulty. Or actually we can say, Krishna, through the agency of the material energy, tests the devotee. Another reason there may be some difficulty is to show the ideal character of a devotee. Who would know how great the Pandavas were if they were not subjected to such tests? Many people are performing bhajan. They may be sitting in a hut just chanting Hare Krishna all day. Or they may be performing very nice deity worship. So all these things are very good. But we'll really see how much a devotee is dedicated to Krishna when he's subjected to many difficulties in the service of Krishna. Practically we see how Prabhupada went through so many difficulties to spread Krishna consciousness. And none of his contemporaries even dreamed to do that. And none of his contemporaries, we don't think they could have gone through what Prabhupada went through. Living with crazy hippies and cooking and cleaning up for them and preaching on and on. Preaching means you must have to be a preacher.